My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Michael Burgess. He represents the Lone Star State's 26th Congressional District. Before coming to Congress, he spent many years practicing as a physician. And it's some of that experience, as well as his work in Congress, that we want to draw on now to get his reaction to the crisis at the southern border, and particularly a potential health danger to Americans as a result of the many different untreated viruses and illnesses that are being detected at some of these facilities. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Great to be with you, Greg.
A lot of this stuff is anecdotal, but we've heard reports of multiple cases of swine flu, perhaps tuberculosis coming into the country, scabies, one case of perhaps even a border patrol agent coming up with scabies. What have you been told? What can you quantify about how big of an issue this is on the border?
Well, potentially it is a very big issue. And what I have encouraged people at the agency level is take this seriously, please. Don't be dismissive. Don't try to minimize. At the same time, you want to be truthful with people. And if the actual incidence of these illnesses is low, then by all means be truthful about it. But don't tell people that there's no possibility of tuberculosis coming across the border, because you know that's not true. When you got 56,000 people streaming across the border in 6 months' time, guess what? There are some things that are going to come along for the ride. From the standpoint, I mean, I went down there myself to one of the intake locations in Weslaco, Texas. I went to Lackland Air Force Base. I've met with the CDC up here in D.C. and had phone consultations with them from back in the district. I've met with the Office of Refugee Relocation here in Washington. So I've been very involved in the last month in this process, because I want people to be on the level about this. I don't want there to be unnecessary alarm, but at the same time, people do need to use good sense. People do need to use good technique. And let's face it, scabies is very contagious, but it's a nuisance. No one's going to their grave because they contracted scabies. But some of these things have a great deal more potential to devastate someone's health, and we need to pay attention, because they're serious illnesses.
The administration says, Congressman, that most of these people are going to be sent back home. If, in fact, that's the case, is that largely the end of the threat? Or, A, do you believe that some of them might be staying? And B, do you believe that even if they don't stay here very long, there could still potentially be an issue?
Well, what I was told on the border last week, that as high as 70 or 75% of these individuals will, in fact, be remaining in the United States. So I don't know quite what the disconnect is there between what the president's statements are and the statements I was hearing from people in Customs and Border Patrol, FEMA, and the federal agencies that are charged with taking care of these folks. I mean, here's the biggest problem, is that just the sheer numbers. Can the United States take care of 56,000 children that come to our borders? Yes, is the answer to that. You know, it's going to cost some money. There'll be some, it'll put some strain on the system, but yes is the short answer. The problem is what happens the next day and the next day and the next day. Because I will tell you, from what I could see, the pipeline, there is no letting up. I mean, these numbers are not just going to recede. It is going to take some time for those that have already started the transit, even if you are able to stop people at the southern Mexican border right now from coming across. There are a lot of people in the pipeline. There are a lot of people being held in stash houses in Mexico, the other side of the Rio Grande. There is going to continue to be this pressure on our services, on our resources up on the border. That is the bigger problem here.
Congressman, you brought up several fascinating points that I want to get more on, but let's stay on the health issue for right now. If, in fact, 75% of these people do stay, and a lot of these people haven't been through the immunization process that most American kids have been through, if, in fact, that percentage of people stay, how soon or how long will it take before we know whether this is having an impact on the general health of Americans, particularly in that part of the country?
To the extent that procedures are followed, I think there are good procedures in place. For example, the intake facility I visited at Weslaco, my understanding is that after the initial screening is done to ascertain where someone is from and whatever basic information can be collected, they were then transferred to Nogales in Arizona. At Nogales, they are held for 3 days while the immunization process occurs. The tuberculosis skin tests are placed and read. in 72 hours, and then from Nogales, the children might be taken to a facility such as Lackland. Now, if that sounds inefficient, I think that's correct. It is, but nevertheless, as described to me last week, that was the process, the procedure that was followed. The difficulty is there are some other intake facilities that are so overwhelmed that they are simply releasing people who then go down to the bus station, and these are the stories you hear of the people that are showing up at Catholic Charities in McAllen, Texas. To the extent that they have been screened, vaccinated, I don't know the answer to that. And so if the procedures are being followed to the letter, I think we've got some good safeguards in place. I cannot guarantee you at this point that all of those safeguards are being followed.
But at this point, you're shying away from estimations like your colleague Phil Gingrey saying that there could be some uncontrollable outbreaks here, it seems like.
Well, there's the risk, and that's why when I talk to HHS, when I talk to CDC, please don't minimize this risk. Please don't be dismissive. When a member of Congress calls you and asks for information, don't just simply put me off and say, oh, it's not going to happen. Because although the CDC may not be the first line of defense, if you end up with a problem, they are going to own it. And that is why they must take it seriously.
Congressman, one of the big issues that got a lot of attention, I believe it was last week, was the Oklahoma Congressman Jim Bridenstine being denied access to one of the facilities that you've already explained that you were able to visit a number of days ago. Just how much access did you have, and what kind of thoughts did you come away with after that visit?
Well, the access is very limited. I mean, yes, they accommodated me in San Antonio at Lackland Air Force Base, and then again at the Customs and Border Patrol station in Weslaco. But and I think that in fairness, the border station that I went through, I think they took me through all of the parts that I needed to see. Now, of course, you're not allowed to take a camera or any kind of recording device out of respect for the privacy of the children. I get that. I think the access that I had at Lackland was probably much more limited. But then my time there was more limited as well. They're not anxious for you just to show up. They're certainly not going to let the press in. All of the press that I talked to in both locations was off-site. At Lackland, I happened to be down there when Attorney General Greg Abbott and my Senator Ted Cruz was also there, and there was a press conference, but it was outside the facility, and of course reporters were not allowed to question the children, not allowed to take photographs. Down in Weslaco, there was no press. I went and did a television interview with a Dallas news reporter who was at one of the Catholic Charity locations, and he was the one who told me that, hey, we've been getting buses here all day. They drop people off, and they get on the bus, and they come here for clothes, flip-flops, whatever they might need. Sometimes in crossing the river, people lose some personal possessions, and they arrive over here with pretty scant resources.
Congressman, we're almost out of time here. Just one more question. When you hear the administration say most are going back, but you hear officials at the site say 75% will stay, when the president then asks Congress for $3.7 billion to help send them back, but you hear they're not likely to go back, what do you make of the president's approach to the current situation?
Well, I'm not overly impressed. I know the president is in Texas today for fundraisers. He should go see what I saw. He should go to Lackland Air Force Base. He should go to the Customs and Border Patrol at Weslaco. He needs to see the children who are being crammed into those cells. And then he must go publicly, directly to the people in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Mexico and tell the parents in those countries, do not send your children across the interior of Mexico to come across the Rio Grande into Texas. Do not send for your children if you are in this country and you have children back home. Do not send for them through this coyote system that has apparently been developed. Buy them a plane ticket, go through the proper channels, but this is no way to treat a child. And the president must be very direct, must be very clear and direct about so stating. He made a statement in the Rose Garden last week that, hey, don't send your kids. No, he needs to be much more forceful. It needs to be a clear and direct message. do not come, do not send your children across on this very dangerous journey. Now, to the extent that he does start sending people back, I would say that's good. Remember, we do have a template for this. There is precedent. In 1992, when Bill Clinton was running for president against George H.W. Bush, he was very critical of the elder Bush for his treatment of Haitian immigrants picked up on the high seas that were trying to get to this country via the Haitian boat lift. And Clinton made a big point during the election of saying that he would be different. He would be welcoming to these refugees who were fleeing to America. Now, he wins the election. He's preparing for the inauguration. And the word comes forward that literally everyone in Haiti is building a boat on the north shore of that country. And they're fixing to launch into the high seas the minute he takes his hand off the Bible. And what did Clinton do when faced with that prospect? He got on the airwaves. He made a very clear and direct statement to the Haitian people that there would be no change between the previous administration and his new administration. The Bush policies would be continued. And he stopped the boat lift. Yes, he perhaps had to backtrack and look a little bad in the news for one day, but he saved a lot of lives that would have been lost on the high seas. I think they were faced with the possibility of 500 drownings a day had they not done something. And more importantly, he did not flood the Florida coast with Haitian refugees that were going to come across illegally. The president has the power to do that. I can't do it. I don't have the bully pulpit. Even coming on your radio show and making these statements, no one in Honduras is going to listen. The First Lady in Honduras was in Lackland just a few days before I was down there. And she, of course, is a very sympathetic figure, and she sang the Honduran anthem with her children, and they waved the little Honduran flags. But Madam President, or Madam First Lady, do not let them leave in the first place. You do your job on the Honduran border, and don't let those children travel into Mexico on this very dangerous journey.
Congressman, a lot to happen still in this big debate. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Texas Republican Congressman Michael Burgess, longtime physician, represents the 26th Congressional District in Texas. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.